judge.
And that's the part about saving money. That's the thing we don't want to do.
I'd so.
Yeah. What? My ringer's off.
Beneficiary who was going to be participating in court call. I'm not sure. They called this morning to see if they could. It was too late, so they were checking with court call. So I
didn't get a notification, but I can call. We'll have to disconnect if it's. Generally speaking, we don't have the witnesses listening to all the proceedings that are called. That's why. But we can call and see if the beneficiary is there. I didn't get a notification though. I'm not sure we have someone else appearing. I'm not sure who that is. Hello. Please.
No, she's here.
Oh, okay.
Peter, so for support.
Peter Feynman on behalf
Thank
of
you.
William Stansberry, claimant.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Elliott?
Elliot Bernstein, pro se. And, Your Honor, can I have my wife sit next to me? I have cough syncope, and I faint and fall, and she's been next to me 24 hours a day for 3 months. It's medically conditioned. I've got accident injury. Okay. Thanks. Because it's bad.
That's fine. Thank you.
It isn't fine. It's bad. But thank you. No, I meant the cough syncope.
I know. I didn't mean to insinuate I meant that your condition was fine. All right. Are we ready to proceed, Mr. O'Connell's motion?
Yeah, they go first.
Do you? Would I ask about your jurisdiction to hear this prior to the hearing or during the hearing?
I will announce I have jurisdiction to hear this, so we'll continue.
Okay.
Thank you,
Your Honor. I call Mr. O'Connell to stand.
Okay.
No, sir.
If it pleases the court, Your Honor, I'd just like to put a statement on the record, if I could, before we actually begin the testimony.
Yes, Mr. O'Connell, do you mind if you sit in this?
Not at all.
Okay.
Raise your hand.
Do you swear to come to tell me the truth?
I do.
Have a seat. Thank you.
On behalf of Mr. Stansberry, Your Honor, we just, even though you've already denied our motion, our amended motion to specially sequence this hearing behind another one, we just want to reiterate our position that this hearing should not go forward at this time until the propriety of Mr. Ted Bernstein's position as successor trustee be determined by the court one way or the other. I'm mindful that Your Honor has already denied that request, but I wanted to put it on the record so there couldn't be any construction of waiver or anything like that. Thank you.
And Your Honor, can I put something on the record? We were told that my two adult children were going to be notified of this hearing as necessary parties by Mr. Rose. They haven't even been notified their beneficiaries of anything by any fiduciaries ever. But in court, he said he was going to notify them and have them here. and they're not here and they're necessary parties to a settlement that's happening that they don't even know about. That they're not, haven't been involved, haven't been summoned, nothing, served, nothing.
If they're adult children, you can't represent them.
I'm not representing them, I'm just saying, I'm just saying necessary parties aren't here.
Mr. Elliott?
Yes.
Okay, I can, if you want to say that, that's fine, but you can't speak on their behalf if they are.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm going to speak about them, I think, in the hearing, but they're not here, and by the way, there's one more point. They have counsel, and they've been trying to enter this case now almost for over a year or so. But Mr. Rose is refusing their counsel to give them any of the dispositive documents or trust regarding them.
All right, that is so noted. Obviously, it's a public court file. They could get I don't have a notice of hearing.
No, but she's asking for the full records.
Okay, that would be a different hearing. Okay.
Okay.
Are we ready to proceed?
Just for the record, I dispute what he just said.
Okay.
The only thing I would say, just so you know where we stand, my client's position is he's in favor of the settlement.
Thank you.
I think Mr. Fabian's
client... I don't mean thank you for the position, I mean, okay.
And Mr. Fabian, I think his client, he advises us both on several occasions, he's taking no position with regard to the settlement. So I think the only...
Mr. Fabian has indicated that to me.
Yeah. The only person objecting is Elliott Bernstein. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, I swear you in, you may proceed. Thank you.
Karen, we're here on, just so that the court reporter has it, we're here on Mr. O'Connell's verified motion for approval of settlement agreement entered in Illinois Federal Act. I have another copy for Mr. Bernstein if you need it. Do you need it?
What is it?
Another copy of the motion except for today. Karen, I'd also like to approach the witness with it. I've marked it as Exhibit 1, although it's already in the court file.
And I have a copy, thank you.
Mr. O'Connell, please state your name and your position in this matter.
Brian O'Connell, and I'm the person representative of the estate of Simon Bernstein.
And for how long have you been serving?
Let's see, at this point since 2014, June of 2014, so really over 3 years.
Okay.
Almost 3.5 years.
And you're currently aware of a pending litigation entitled Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Insurance Trust et al.
Yes.
Versus Heritage Union Life Insurance Company, correct?
I'm familiar with that litigation, yes.
Okay, and for how long have you been familiar with the litigation?
Pretty much since my appointment.
Okay, so since June or so of 2014?
Yes.
And has the estate entered an appearance in that litigation?
It has.
Okay, and you have counsel in your role as personal representative?
I do.
And who's that?
James Stamos.
And has that always been the counsel that's represented the estate and thus you?
To my knowledge, yes.
And can you just give me generally what the nature of that litigation is?
That was a dispute over who was the beneficiary of an insurance policy, whether it would be a trust, a freestanding trust that was alleged to be the beneficiary by some of the Bernstein family members, or the default being the estate, being the probate estate being the beneficiary.
Okay. And in the litigation, if you can explain, really, there was competing positions by the insurance trust and by the estate?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and tell me what the position of the insurance trust is to the best of your knowledge as a litigant.
Well, the trust, and through the trustee, was claiming 100% of the policy proceeds. The estate, through myself, was claiming the estate was entitled to 100% of the policy proceeds.
And to the best of your knowledge, who's the trustee of the irrevocable insurance trust that's part of that litigation?
Ted Bernstein.
And other than you, has there ever been a prior fiduciary that's appeared in that proceeding on behalf of the estate?
Ben Brown, as a curator, was allowed to intervene in that litigation for some period of time. I don't think it was very long.
And now, did there come a time when you had made the decision to explore settlement?
Yes.
In the case? Okay, and when was that?
Well, actually started probably 6-8 months ago, the beginnings of to see if some resolutions could be made. Prior to that, there might have been some isolated talk, but nothing real concrete.
And can you take a look at what I've marked as Exhibit 1?
Yes.
And is this your motion for approval of the settlement agreement?
It is.
And have you signed it and read the facts that are alleged in the motion?
I have.
And do you believe that they're true to the best of your knowledge?
I do.
Okay. And one of the attachments to the motion is the actual proposed settlement agreement.
Correct.
And you signed that agreement, correct?
I did.
And is it contingent on this court's approval?
It is.
Okay. And as part of your motion, have you asked the court to go ahead and approve you entering into the settlement agreement?
I am seeking the court's approval, yes.
Why?
That's a contingency under the agreement.
Okay. And why do you believe the settlement agreement should be approved by this court?
I think it's in the best interest of the estate, given the nature, extent of the litigation, the cost of litigation, the uncertainties of litigation, that the matter be settled on this basis.
Okay. And asking you not to draw an attorney-client privilege or work product here because the agreement has not yet been approved. But can you explain, at least for the court, monetarily, if you were looking at this agreement, how it works out in part of an analysis about why the settlement agreement is in the best interest of the estate and its beneficiaries?
Sure, but the way the litigation is posited right now, it's an all or nothing situation, as in the estate either gets all of the policy proceeds, about $1,700,000, or none of the proceeds. There's no middle ground. This is not, there's no way you approach 50% or something of that nature. So when you consider that scenario, and you also have to look at the fact that there's cost of litigation, meaning out-of-pocket costs, attorney's fees that would have to be expended, and based on more recent rulings, the fact that Mr. Stansberry no longer has to fund the litigation, that combination of factors along with a summary judgment having been denied, we moved for summary judgment in our favor, and that was denied, put the matter into the trial mode. We would have been, frankly, tried the end of this summer. So that put it, to me, in a settlement posture, see what the best that could be done in the way of a settlement, especially considering the fact that we might have had to switch this to a contingency fee situation, which would have, if we were victorious, eaten into the proceeds. Of course, if we weren't successful, we would have had a benefit of not expending any further fees. But it's sort of drawing on that combination of factors. And not that it's an exact midpoint, the settlement's about $700,000 is the dollar amount. But when you look at it from that standpoint, with an all or nothing scenario, that was sort of the driver, in my thinking at least, as to why the settlement was appropriate at this particular time.
Okay, let's talk particularly about if we were operating under an hourly fee arrangement, just so we can talk monetarily about how the settlement really works monetarily. So if we were using an hourly fee situation, have you done the at least rough math to try to determine sort of what this settlement really is worth to the estate?
Roughly. Yeah.
Okay. And can you share that with the court?
Well, if you have right now $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 recovery in the way of the settlement.
Okay. And have you computed sort of what that mathematically is?
It's about 40, I think it's about 40% of the, say, top balance of the claim. If we covered every dollar, that would represent about a 40% portion of 100% victory.
And other than the $708,000 that will actually be garnered by the estate, are there any other monetary benefits by virtue of the settlement?
Payment of some fees.
Savings of fees or?
Payment of fees being, I guess, eliminated.
Okay.
I should say savings, which could have been about $75,000. Like my counsel had estimated that would be the cost from, say, the spring going forward through trial.
And then you also talked about a contingency situation. Have you evaluated it? Had you have changed the nature of the representation to a contingency fee agreement? What was the fee that would have been assessed by Mr. Stamos if he went to trial?
For going to trial, he would have charged 40% of what was recovered. So it would bring you down to a net, again, if you won 100%, about $1,100,000. put the balance, you know, going to him towards fees.
Okay, that would be a best case scenario. Now, if you did, in an hourly situation, if you didn't settle the case and you, in fact, the estate lost, have you looked at what the ramifications to the estate would be monetarily?
Yeah, there'd be two things. You'd be out of pocket, again, let's use Mr. Stamos's estimate that there is $75,000 that would be required by him. Then I would have some fees and costs, obviously have to attend the trial, things of that nature to be involved. It would have been an extra expense on top of that. Could have easily been $10,000, $12,000 there.
Okay. And with respect to your fees, that would have been incurred by the estate, whether you won or lost, under an hourly or contingency fee arrangement, correct?
Correct.
Can I ask that we be able to admit into evidence the verified motion for approval of settlement agreement as Exhibit 1? I have the one I handwritten for my
thank you
exhibit. Hope I did somewhat correctly.
Thank you.
You did.
Okay.
So admit it. May proceed.
Oh, by the way, Your Honor, by not objecting to the admission, I just want to make it clear to the court that agreement contemplates a payment to my client, Mr. Stansberry, of a certain amount of money. Mr. Stansberry does not agree that that amount of money is all he would be entitled to.
You don't want to waive that.
In this, correct.
I understand.
Thank you.
And I object to the settlement being entered because the parties that are named in there aren't all there.
So noted.
Okay.
So admitted. I have nothing further for Mr. O'Connell. Mr. Rose?
No questions.
Mr. Feeney?
Just a few, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Can I reserve? Because I don't know whether
you may.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Connell, you stated that settlement discussion started about 6 to 8 months ago, is that correct?
Sort of in earnest. Again, prior to that, I think there had been some general, call them discussion, but things got more serious, let's say.
6 or 8 months ago from today, or from when the settlement agreement was signed?
Probably from when the settlement agreement was entered into.
All right. And there, in fact, there was a formal mediation by telephone in May of 2017, this year, correct?
Correct. That's sort of the driver to get it across the finish line.
All right. And then, it didn't settle at the mediation, correct?
No.
But at that point, things began to really ramp up in terms of serious settlement discussions. Is that correct?
That's true.
So that in June of 2017, then is it fair to say that you were very close to settling? And in fact, since you signed this on July 5th, you probably had an agreement prepared in June for circulation, I would imagine. Is that correct?
Relevance sustained.
The relevance is I'm laying a predicate for when we come back for fees, Your Honor.
It's not relevant to today, then.
Okay. Now, with regard to those settlement negotiations, Mr. Stansberry, in the May-June timeframe, he was not involved in the negotiations, correct?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. And in fact, to your knowledge, I was not involved, correct?
I don't believe you were, sir.
Okay. And to your knowledge, nobody from my office was involved, correct?
I don't recall anyone from your office being involved.
Okay. And you mentioned Ben Brown was the first one that intervened. He was allowed by the court. You recall that was actually at the behest of Mr. Stansberry's motion, is that correct?
Objection relevant to the issues today.
To the issues today. We're
okay.
Just approving the settlement.
All right.
Mr. Fagan, I just wanted, with regard to some of the correct about your firm's involvement, I know you and I had discussions as the case was evolving about there might be a settlement and some generalities like that, so I wanted to give 100%.
Sure.
You, to distinguish, you weren't physically, say, on the phone or attending an in-person mediation, but I know you were.
But we were never involved with discussing numbers, were we?
Not specific numbers, I don't recall that. Just more, we were trying to settle it. Here's what was transpiring with the case. And I know Mr. Stansberry had some conversation with Mr. Stamos that were fine because he was paying Mr. Stamos.
Okay. Now, the the settlement negotiations when they were in earnest in May and June, was Mr. Rose involved in those?
I think he was, to some extent. And I have to answer it that way because the telephone mediation was a mediation literally where the mediator would call one side and then call the other side. It wasn't just a sketch it for the court. It wasn't like a en masse mediation with everyone present at the same time.
Okay,
and so I have to be a little cautious as to exactly who was
and who was
in what.
That's fine. And who was Mr. Rose representing?
I'm not sure. Mr. Bernstein would.
And objection, what's the
Mr.
relevance?
Mr. Freeman, do you not want me to approve this? I thought you weren't taking a position. I'm losing why we're talking about this now.
Well, we previously raised the issue of conflict, Your Honor.
Yes, and I denied the order.
Mr. Ted Bernstein.
And I denied the order, and we're here today, and you said you're not taking a position on the approval of the settlement.
Not on the merits of the...
Yes,
of the,
so that'll just continue.
I don't think we're in a position to comment on the merits one way or the other, not having been involved in the litigation directly.
This is crazy.
Other than causing
exactly.
it to happen.
So for purposes of today, I ask that you stay on point.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have an opinion as to the probability of success by the estate if the case were to go to trial?
If, to the extent it calls for attorney-client privilege, work product and object and instruction not to answer.
I would have to draw on some privileged information from counsel, but
yeah,
I can
analysis.
I can try to answer it on my own.
I would have a problem.
Answer what you can without drawing on any privilege.
Sure. I think it was a good case, as in the probabilities were more in favor of the estate, but nothing being 100%. And in light, again, of what I mentioned before, of course, when you have a summary judgment denied, obviously that makes it more of a horse race than it would be if the summary judgment granted, case over. But just to kind of sketch that out for you, it's certainly a meritorious case that was worth pursuing, ergo I did.
Thank you.
Mr. Elliott?
Yeah. Can I stay here just so I don't fall up there? Okay. Thank you. Mr. O'Connell, your pleading today states that you entered the settlement with Ted Bernstein as trustee of a 1995 trust. Are you in possession of that trust?
Objection.
I'm not.
Objection, relevance.
Oh, it's...
There's...
Overruled. Go ahead. Next question.
I'm not as in an original.
Wait, what's overruled?
Specific.
Good. Excuse me?
I don't have an original of that trust.
Do you have an executed copy?
I don't.
So you've never seen the trust. So, and how do you know Ted Bernstein's the trustee of that trust then?
Because that was the claim that they were making.
Okay. And are you aware that Judge Blakey in the Illinois case, which is hearing this matter properly in the federal court, has determined that that trust hasn't been proven, and it's one of the reasons summary judgment was denied?
I don't have a summary judgment in front.
Oh, I do.
When you're saying proven, I'm a little about
I'd like to enter proven. That summary judgment that has that in it as evidence, please. You got it?
Sure.
Anybody else need it? And can you give him one? Oh, you better give her one too.
Judge
copy.
Sure.
Wait, which one did you give? Honey, you gave him the wrong
judge.
One. That's
the first one.
There's
the
two of them. Can we get both of them?
The second?
Yeah, give everybody one and two.
I just gave you the first
I need one.
One
for O'Connell, too.
I just gave you the first one.
Okay, I need the second one.
Mm-hmm. All the copies of the first one.
No, no. Oh, they've got them.
I need one for O'Connell. His attorney needs to get the one for now.
Can, somebody give Brian the copy I gave, maybe his attorney, for Brian as a witness?
No. His attorney right now is reviewing if you have an extra copy for Mr. O'Connell.
If I don't give one to the judge,
you're
is that right?
For everybody.
Well, I didn't know how many people were here. It's half out of my mind being here.
We have four.
We have four?
Yeah. Did you give one to Peter?
No. So I've got one, two. Let's get more.
I think this might be the same.
Does you have two.
And I need the second one is really what I need. Okay, how many copies you got? Okay, and, oh, there's two more? So here's one for the judge, and I need one.
You got one more?
And then Mr. O'Connell.
And being mindful of your time, keeping track of how much everybody has spoken. So you have about 4 more minutes.
Oh, what?
Yes, you have about 4 more minutes with this witness. Okay, that's a question.
Terry, he needs one of these, too. He needs one of those. That's the second summary judgment. Wait, you gotta get to them. How many you got for? That's two. Okay, so, and that one to the witness. On this one, I'll give her mine when I'm done. Do you need it?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's a summary judgment in the Illinois court. Have you seen this document?
Yes, in the past.
Okay.
Yes.
And are you aware that in the second summary judgment, in the first summary judgment that he issued, I'm a party to the action. And in the second one, I'm dismissed from the complaint based on the fact that I'm not a beneficiary with standing in my father's estate. Well, it's all going to be relevant to today's settlement, of course. Okay, the Judge Blakey in this, if you go into the first order, the small one, the six pager, the date is on the top, file 3/15/16.
I see it, yeah.
Okay. Do you see on page 4, the last paragraph, the last two paragraphs, can you read that?
Is that starts, while the above sources?
Right.
While the above sources do provide some evidence that the trust was created.
Which trust? The 1995 trust?
Trust?
Okay, just to be clear.
That evidence is far from dispositive of the issue. In fact, the intervener has presented argument and evidence casting material doubt on whether, one, the trust was actually created, and two, the terms of the trust are as explained by the plaintiffs. Want me to keep going?
Well, let me ask a real quick question before you keep going. Are you the intervener?
No.
You're not? The estate is?
The estate is.
Okay, and so you're representing the estate.
Yes, me as personal representative, not
right.
Individually. That's what I thought you were asking.
Right, so in fact, the estate has made the argument that this trust does not exist, and there are no terms that are applicable, so how can you be saying that? You know that Ted is the trustee.
I'm saying Ted claims to be the trustee.
No, in your pleading, you said you entered into this settlement with Ted Bernstein as trustee, a factual assertion that he was trustee of a trust. But yet now you're stating, correct, that there is no trust, and you're not sure of the terms, and one of those terms would be Ted Bernstein.
Right.
Is that correct? Being a
hold on,
correct.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. You know the rules.
Okay.
Is there an objection, Mr. Rose?
I said argumentative.
I said joint. Sustain.
Okay. did you argue that the trust was actually created?
Did the estate argue
yeah.
that it was created?
Yeah.
In the summary judgment or in the case?
This is from the intervener stating that the trust wasn't actually created.
That was the legal position we took.
Okay.
Dispute.
And you took the assertion that the terms of the trust are just as what was explained by the plaintiffs, not the trust, because you don't know the terms because we don't have a valid copy, correct?
The position that the estate took is what's set forth in Judge Blakey's order.
Okay.
Correct.
And then read Judge Blakey's next statement.
I'm just reminding you, we have just about 3 more minutes.
Well, I need some more time here. This is going to take a long time, isn't it?
Well, it's going to take till 2:30. As I said, this was set for an hour. And I'm giving people time so you can keep arguing or you can ask a question.
Where did you say it was set for an hour? I thought I was here till 5 or till whenever you let me go.
I believe I was asked by a Mr. Rose on the phone the other day, and I said, "You have an hour reserved."
Well, the hour, you never told us that, and this is going to take me hours.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Ask four more questions.
Well, this is a serious settlement that
so
you...
So would you rather take the time arguing with the court, or I'll just...
Well, can we get it extended to go on?
Ask your next question.
Well, you're materially denying rights. Okay. I'll ask my next question. Can you read the next sentence?
However, David Simon's search there...
No, the results of the... in timing of the plaintiff's search for the trust...
The results and timing of the plaintiff's search for the trust raises doubts about their version of events. Plaintiffs claim that David Simon found both the hard copy and electronic version of the trust in his office. David Simon has offered testimony here that he aided Simon Bernstein in creating the trust and that he kept both versions of the unexecuted trust. Keep going. Or?
No, that's good. And that was one of the missing trust was one of Judge Blakey's reason for denying summary judgment. Those are still issues of fact. If there is a trust, if Ted's the trustee, correct?
Yes, the order speaks for itself.
Correct. And so it's not been determined Ted Bernstein's a trustee of any trust because nobody has a copy, correct?
In connection with this proceeding, the summary judgment?
In connection with this proceeding, Ted Bernstein hasn't been determined to be the trustee of the 95 trust that you are entering into settlement with because nobody has the trust, correct?
Well, Ted Bernstein claims to be the trustee of the 1995
before trust. You entered into settlement with, oh, sorry.
And this settlement resolves the litigation over the entire litigation. Who gets the proceeds, how much of the proceeds, how they're split between the defendant and the plaintiff.
So you haven't verified that Ted Bernstein's the trustee that you're entering into the settlement in?
There's no way to verify whether Ted Bernstein is the trustee of the trust. We reached a settlement because of the doubt as to whether the trust existed or not, who was the trustee, so that journey is over. That's why you settled cases.
I'm sorry, you entered in this pleading that you settled with Ted Bernstein, who is trustee, a factual assertion, of a 1995 trust. Are you stating that again today here?
It's not my factual assertion. I think that's the problem we're having.
You made it in the pleading. It's the heading of your pleading. You start out with, this settlement was entered into between Brian O'Connell, PR of the estate, and Ted Bernstein, trustee of the 1995 trust.
That's true.
Okay.
That's the capacity that he was seeking relief from the district court.
Okay. And I've got some other questions real quick. Am I a beneficiary of my father's estate withstanding?
Your objection calls for legal conclusion.
He's the PR of the estate.
And it's already been...
Overruled. You can answer the question.
Okay, your beneficiary is the tangible personal property of the estate, yes.
Okay, so I'm a beneficiary of the estate withstanding, correct?
The tangible personal property.
Whatever property. I'm a beneficiary, correct?
You're a beneficiary of the tangible personal property.
Okay.
Last
give me a minute
question.
To finish. I've got
last question, Mr. Elliott.
This is just unbelievable.
I'm sorry, what was that?
What? I said that's just unbelievable. It's hard.
Last question.
Okay. Mr. O'Connell, are you aware that Judge Blakey dismissed me on summary judgment claiming that I was not a beneficiary of my father's estate withstanding?
I recall you're being dismissed, but I'd have to review the
go ahead, it's right there. You could look, it's the bigger, thicker judgment, Your Honor, for your edification.
I object to the relevance of I would also object to the relevance of
that. Redirect.
Mr. Rose. Wait, Your Honor, what just happened?
You're done. She cut you off.
What happened? I'm a little slow. I've been medically...
I sustain the objection. Okay, Mr. Rose?
You're done.
Mr. O'Connell, is it fair to say that Judge Blakey also denied the estate's motion for summary judgment?
It did.
And the estate, after the first motion for summary judgment was filed by the Illinois plaintiff, this insurance trust, correct?
Correct.
And that was denied.
Correct.
And on the strength of that, the estate moved for summary judgment.
Correct. And that was denied.
And part of the evidence that was submitted contrary to your claim was an affidavit of Mr. Spallina.
Correct.
And it's Mr. Spallina's testimony, if it was believed, that Simon Bernstein discussed the terms of the 1995 insurance trust, and Simon Bernstein intended that trust to get all the money, correct?
That was his testimony per his affidavit.
And if you take the litigation all the way to the end, there's a chance that you would lose and end up with nothing.
There's always that chance, hence we settled.
If Mr. Spolina's affidavit is believed by the judge, that would be strong evidence against your position.
It would be, and that would be one of the key points, is that believable or not.
And if you hire Mr. Stamos at a 40% contingency, my math on $1.7 million says that the fee is going to be about $680,000.
Correct.
So I take $1 million minus $700,000 fee and some costs, I assume, your best case is $1 million.
Under a contingency arrangement, that's the math I did too.
But someone has to pay for you, Mr. O'Connell's time, to fly to Chicago, sit through a trial, however long it takes, to interact with Mr. Stamos.
Correct.
And you still have to pay back Mr. Stansberry for whatever he's incurred.
Yes.
And in your view, the settlement is in the best interest, taking everything into account, including all the questions you were asked by all the parties.
Yes.
Nothing further.
Can I ask him more after that?
No, it goes back to Ms. Crispin.
Do we get another shot at that?
No.
Okay.
No.
I have nothing further for this witness.
Okay, you may step down. Everybody has a copy of the proposed settlement, correct? The letter of the motion?
I think.
Mr. Elliott, did you want these two orders in evidence? You didn't ask for them.
I do.
I will mark them as a composite exhibit for you.
Thank you. So that would be one?
Elliott's composite exhibit.
Okay, cool. Thank you. What?
All right, next
2,000
witness.
On that. Right, answer.
All right, let me call.
Well, we can call him as a witness.
He's not on the court call.
Yes, I know, I'm good.
Is anyone calling Mr. Simon? No.
Can Mr. Simon is on the phone.
I know. I'm not sure why.
Well, I think he's counsel of record in the Illinois case for the trust. He may have just wanted to ask
him. I've been listening.
Oh.
And I might want to ask him questions since he's here. But I'll do that when I call witnesses, right?
Yes. Go ahead, ask him questions, Mr. Bernstein.
Well, should I do that?
Do you have a notary public there? Did you arrange to have a notary public for him if you wish to call him as a witness?
No. I'm not his lawyer.
I know, but if you wish to call a witness by telephone, you need to arrange that they have a notary public so they can be sworn in.
Okay, never
mind. He's the counsel to...
I know, but
trustee.
He still needs a notary public because he's not in front of me for me to swear him in.
Okay, so no, I didn't do that.
Okay.
I didn't know he was going to be here.
You just said you wanted to ask him questions, so I thought, okay, let's go.
Now that he's here, I right.
Okay. Right, next witness, Ms. Crispin. Or, you're on the phone, sorry.
No, I don't have anyone after Mr. Stamos.
Okay. Any witnesses, Mr. Rose?
Mr. Stamos, please.
No, Your Honor.
Any witnesses, Mr. Feenan?
No, Your Honor.
Call your first witness, Mr. Elliott.
Well, I'd like to go after Mr. Stamos.
No, we're waiting until court efficiency. Call your first witness.
Brian O'Connell.
Brian O'Connell.
I'm Jack. How are you?
He can call in for about 8 minutes.
Oh, beautiful.
He's calling in now.
Okay, all right. He'll call into court call now. In the meantime, go ahead and get back on the stand. Mr. Elliott's going to ask you some questions.
All right.
I told him he's got about 8 minutes.
Okay.
And we'll have Mr. Stamos.
Yeah.
Just if you're on the phone with Mr. Stamos, you can tell him to be ready by 10 to 3.
That's your copy. That's, you know, that's your copy.
Okay.
This is the judge.
Okay.
He's still in the room. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's all yours.
Here, bailiff, sir, please.
My deputy is deputy.
Deputy? Oh, okay, I thought bailiff. Ask him for what?
No, it's actually, it's kind of like the difference between flight attendant
okay.
and stewardess.
Let me ask one question. Are you aware of a 2000 insurance trust that was executed that the policy at question has been assigned to in the year 2000?
Ask and answer.
Sustained. You already asked him that.
No, a 2000 insurance trust.
Oh, overruled. Thank you.
That supersedes a 1995 trust.
You'd have to show me a document.
Okay, here.
That's
mine.
Enough.
This is the judge's.
Judge's copy.
That's his.
O'Connell.
I need to see.
And then.
That's an extra. If you can give Peter yours. Give Peter yours. If you, no, you need it. Never mind.
Okay.
This
I'm not the
same,
best.
Is it the same?
Same
thing.
Oh, yeah.
Same
thing.
Hello?
Is that Mr. Stamos?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask you, this is the judge, just hang on while we complete the testimony of another witness.
Okay?
Thank you.
How long will that be? How long will it be, do you think?
About 8 minutes.
All right, I will step away from my desk for 5 minutes. I'll pick up that, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. O'Connell, have you seen that trust before?
Sitting here today, I don't recall it, but it's possible in the volume of documents in this case that I took, but I couldn't tell you definitively.
Okay, you notice that it's bait stamped by Tesher and Spallina, the former attorneys who committed forgery and fraud in these matters that you replaced, and those documents were transferred to you by Ben Brown. And you've actually argued, can you answer that question?
I see bait stamps at the bottom.
So these would be part of your record, correct?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to look at my record.
Okay,
sure.
And you're aware that the state has argued in Illinois' federal court that this 2000 trust supersedes the 95 trust, thereby rendering it moot, the 95 trust you're entering into settlement with. Is that correct?
I'd have to see some more documents. If you're talking about, has there been something in writing submitted taking that position?
Yeah, your summary judgment arguments rely on this 2000 trust superseding the thing. Can I hand me the, do you have the Blakey thingies?
No, go back to
I got
the
them.
Don't go back to the questions.
In that 2000 trust, can you read from page 1, the trust, the first paragraph and the number 1. So
documents, non-evidence, hearsay.
Sustained.
Oh, can I submit it as evidence?
Objection then?
Authenticity.
Sustained.
It's bait stamped.
Doesn't matter. Sustained.
It's been submitted into the record.
Sustained.
We can't enter this. Okay.
No, I sustain the objection.
Okay.
It's an evidentiary objection.
Okay. Well, on the am I allowed to ask him questions about this document?
If you ask a question and there's an objection, I will entertain it. I can't tell you how to proceed.
Okay. Can you read the first paragraph and number 1 of that document?
Objection.
Are you aware that only 4 of the kids are beneficiaries?
Have you argued in Illinois in the federal action on behalf of the state that this 2000 document superseded the 1995 trust?
Ask and answer.
Is
said he needed further documentation to see this.
In a recent similar case to this, with allegations of fraud, the Bivens case, are you aware of the Oliver Bivens case?
Objection, relevance, materiality.
Sustained.
Have you been charged with breach of fiduciary duties and negligence recently and found guilty by a jury of your peers in a federal court?
Objection, relevance.
Argumentative. I have to overrule those objections as it would go to bias and impeachment ability.
Could you
use the word charged? That was my problem for the argumentative.
Okay. With regards to the word charge, sustain.
Okay, is there a verdict that claims you breached fiduciary duties and negligence in the handling of an estate?
There was a verdict, but the matter has been settled and the case has been dismissed with prejudice pursuant to a confidential settlement.
Who was your attorney in that settlement?
Wicker Smith.
Was Alan Rose?
Alan Rose came in after the verdict to represent the law firm, while Ms. Crispin and I were represented by the Wicker Smith firm, as we had been from the inception of the case.
So the verdict stood. It's never been dismissed.
Hang out for me, Mr. Stamos.
Correct.
Okay.
So there was a jury verdict that you had breached and committed negligence with Ashley Crispin, correct?
Objection. Again, I'll answer the question.
Sustained. All right, last question.
And by the way, Your Honor, something strange here has occurred in that. But Mr.
Question.
Rose is
last
Mr. O'Connell's
question.
Counsel.
Excuse me, you have a question for this witness. You have one question left.
If there is a 2000 trust, would it not be a necessary party to any settlement? If it deals with the same insurance policy?
I'm not aware that that trust exists, the 2000 trust exists.
But I'm asking if it exists, since I can't enter it in evidence.
I'd have to review the document.
Okay,
to be sure.
But after you reviewed them, if you found that it existed, would it be a necessary party to any settlement?
Objection. I think it calls for a legal conclusion, and the facts are that that trust, the no trustee, has intervened or sought to do anything in the Illinois case. So I think it's an irrelevant question.
Well, Your Honor, that's really relevant because the reason this trust is suppressed is because my sister Pam's cut out. Can I enter another piece of evidence where they discuss suppressing this and hiding it from the court, the trust?
Sustained. And last question.
If when you found out that I was a beneficiary of my father's estate and Judge Blakey removed me on summary judgment claiming that I was not a beneficiary based on res judicata from this court, when you found out again and admitted in court at the first hearing that I attended with Judge Scheer here in the courtroom that I was a beneficiary, did you notify the federal court that I was a beneficiary with standing in my dad's estate?
Objection. Relevance, argumentative. And I think these issues are just the ones that were decided by the federal judge in Illinois.
I'll let him answer the question. He either did or he didn't.
I guess to answer your question, I'd have to go back and review your intervention and review the order. And
the order is there.
It takes some time to do to say whether or not that was even.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. It's the same question.
It's been asked and answered.
Well, let me help him answer what he's saying there. Would that be okay? That we just finished that?
That would be okay.
Okay, thank you. So the question is, after a review, if you found that I was a beneficiary withstanding in the estate and the Illinois court was under the impression that I was not and had dismissed me, would I need to be reinstated as a party in that action who would be a party to this settlement?
That would be between you and the Illinois federal court, using that hypothetical.
Okay, that about does it for that. Follow up, Ms. Crispin? No. Okay, you may step down, Mr. O'Connell. We're ready to proceed. You have a notary public there with you, Mr. Stamos.
Yeah, let me have her step right in. Just take one second, Your Honor.
Thank you.
She's coming presently.
Thank you.
Okay. Shall we begin?
Can I speak with the notary, please?
Yes.
Yes, I am here.
Hello, this is Judge Rosemary Shear. What is your name, ma'am?
My name is Denise Vasquez.
Ms. Vasquez, are you a notary public of the state of Illinois?
Yes, I am.
When does your commission expire?
October 31st, 2021.
In Illinois, do you have a number? Do you have a commission number? In Florida we do. That's the only reason I'm asking. All right, do you know the gentleman do you know the gentleman in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Do you know him personally, or has he produced identification?
Right. Yes, I do. Personally,
and Mr. Stamos, you don't get to help her with this question. That's quite all right. All right. Is the gentleman, who is the gentleman in front of you?
James Stamos.
All right. Would you please ask him to raise his right hand?
Raise your right hand.
And swear affirm to tell the truth. Just repeat after me. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Do you swear and affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Ms. Vasquez, thank you so much for serving the court. Mr. Stamos, you are on. Ms. Crispin will begin her questioning. Mr. Stamos,
yes,
can you
hear me? Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Stamos, can you
hear
me?
I got you.
Hello. Mr. Stamos, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. This is Ashley Crispin. We've met before. I represent Brian O'Connell. We share a client.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm going to be asking you some questions. Your full name, please.
James J. Stamos, middle name is John.
Okay, and you currently represent who in the pending litigation, Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Insurance Trust et al. Versus Heritage Union Life Insurance Company et al.?
I represent the estate.
Okay. And currently, the fiduciary position is held by Mr. O'Connell as personal representative, correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay. And how long have you been representing the estate in this litigation?
I think since 2015, if I'm correct. I think it was the summer of 2015.
Okay. And your primary area of practice?
I'm a litigator. I do principally professional liability defense as well as commercial litigation.
Okay. And you're aware of the settlement agreement that was reached between the parties in this matter, correct?
Yes, I am.
And you reviewed the settlement agreement before it was executed by Mr. O'Connell, correct?
Yes, I think I might have suggested some changes, but...
But you reviewed the final version before Mr. O'Connell executed it, correct?
Yes, I did.
And since it's contingent on this court, meaning the probate court in Palm Beach County's approval, correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Now, without drawing on your attorney-client communications with Mr. O'Connell, are you able to give the court an analysis of the settlement?
I think I can without breaching confidentiality.
Okay. Can you do that, please?
Tell me exactly what you'd like me to talk about. I'm not sure if you want me to talk about whether it's reasonable or its terms or which.
Exactly, if it's reasonable. The court has the terms in front of it, so now we're just talking about whether or not it was a reasonable settlement.
Yes.
In your analysis.
I think it is reasonable. I think that I base that, and I don't think this is an attorney-client or work product assessment. I base it on a number of factors. The first being that I believe that it's a case that we would be able to win, that we should be able to win. But I thought that there were a number of issues that could make that challenging. One was that the court had not granted summary judgment for us when I thought the court should have, which made me think that perhaps his view of the facts would be slightly different than our view of the facts. I also thought that our winning the case was really going to come down to a credibility question. And while I thought we had the much better of the credibility argument, nonetheless, the judge was going to have to look at the witnesses and make decisions about whether he was going to believe the witnesses for the plaintiffs in terms of the fact that there were basically the same people on both sides. I mean, I realize they're different than the parents and the kids. Might make it less certain that the judge would be as precise as he might otherwise be in deciding exactly who should win. I thought that in light of the fact that if we lost, the estate would have no money from the trust, and I thought the estate probably would want to have some money, that a compromise of this nature was reasonable.
Having heard. Questions?
I'll reserve it down. Have any questions?
Mr. Feenan?
Thank you. Mr. Stanos, this is Peter Feynman. Do you recall that I represent Bill Stansberry?
I do. I recall that well.
Okay. You recall that it was our office that first brought you into the case?
Relevance, and it's, we're not going to discuss Mr. Feynman's client's
sustained.
Request is coming.
Relevance is sustained. No speaking.
Mr. Stanos, you determined early on in your representation of the estate that the estate had a very meritorious claim, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
And there was a telephonic mediation in May. Did you attend?
I did.
Okay. And who attended at that mediation?
Objection for the same reasons you limited his questioning, since he has no position.
Sustained.
And did that get the ball rolling in earnest towards settlement?
Same objection.
And to the extent it calls for confidential mediation.
Sustained.
And did the most serious settlement discussions take place in June of this year?
Same objection.
Sustained. Sustained. I don't see the relevance this year.
Do you recall whether I was involved at all in those settlement discussions?
Same objection.
Okay, what is the relevance for this hearing, Mr. Feynman?
For this hearing?
For this hearing.
As to whether, well, we're taking no position.
Exactly.
I want to set the record that we were
hearing.
Not involved.
Okay, you've already done that. Thank you. Any other questions?
Was Ted Bernstein involved in the settlement discussions as the plaintiff in the Chicago litigation or as the trustee for the trust as the only monetary beneficiary of this estate?
Objection, same objection. It sounds like it's a question leading toward your position.
Could you ask the question again, Mr. Feynman?
Yes. Was Ted Bernstein involved in settlement negotiations as a plaintiff in the Chicago litigation that your counsel involved in, or as trustee for the trust that's the only monetary beneficiary of this estate?
I'm sustaining the objection because, again, you've taken no position on approving the settlement, and I know this goes to another issue you have that's not in front of the court today.
Can I ask that same question then?
No, you can't.
Oh,
okay. It's not in front of the court today. That's what I'm saying.
And okay. My last question, Mr. Stamos, is do you have an opinion as to what the probability of success by the estate would have been if you had gone to trial?
Well, my judgment was that we were likely to win the case. I felt that we were likely to win the case.
Thank you.
With the caveats I described earlier, you really can't guarantee a win for those reasons.
Thank you.
Okay,
no
Mr.
further
Riley.
Questions, John.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Feynman.
Hi, Mr. Stamos. Has Judge Blakey adjudicated this settlement yet?
Candidly, I don't recall the exact procedural posture of it at this moment. I know it's been brought before him. I know he's aware that this hearing has to take place. As to what he has ruled on it, I'm blanking. I don't recall where it stands with it.
Okay. Was I, Elliot Bernstein, at any settlement negotiations you're aware of?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Is it claimed that I'm a beneficiary of the insurance policy?
I'm sorry. Say again, Mr. Bernstein. I couldn't hear you.
Is it claimed by the plaintiffs that I'm a beneficiary of the insurance policy?
That wasn't how I understood their claim. I understood that they were attempting to prove that a particular trust was the beneficiary of the insurance policy.
Okay. Have you ever seen that particular trust, an executed copy of the 1995 trust that's at the heart of this?
No.
Okay. So then would you be able to determine in this settlement that Ted Bernstein is the trustee of the 95 trust?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, did you depose Ted Bernstein on these very questions in the Illinois litigation?
Yeah, I mean, the position that as I understand it, what was that the trust, there was no evidence that the trust was ever executed. And there was no clarity because there were a couple of drafts that were being presented as being exemplars of what the trust was supposed to have been doing, what it was supposed to accomplish. That there was some, in my recollection, there's some inconsistency as to who the trustee would be. I never saw any document that assigned anyone as the trustee.
So it's so
I never saw it executed. So I never saw an executed document.
So then it couldn't be certain that Ted Bernstein's the trustee of a trust that nobody knows exists.
Objection to relevance to the issues before the court today.
Our position, Mr. Bernstein, was that there was no trust.
Okay, and you understand that this settlement is being entered into between the estate and Ted Bernstein as trustee of fact of the 1995 trust?
My understanding is that is a function of the fact that we are compromising, and one of the compromises is to make that recognition. It's a compromise of a factual issue for us.
Okay.
All right, we need to wrap this up.
I got just one last.
One last question. We need to wrap this here.
Okay, Mr. Samos, are you aware of a 2000 insurance trust that this policy was assigned to?
Trust that was entitled to 2000 trust. I have to tell you, I'm a little hazy as I'm sitting here as to what exactly it did, what function it had in the case. I know that it was never promoted by anyone as a trust that was entitled to the funds from the policy.
Okay,
and it was
last question.
And right, it was,
no, that was it.
Oh,
Ms.
Can I have my one question?
You can have your one.
Mr. Stamos, are you aware that the documents that existed in the office of the insurance company that had issued this policy continuously reflected the sole contingent beneficiary being this 1995 life insurance trust?
I'm sorry, who's asking the question? May I know? Yeah.
Alan Rhodes.
Yeah, Mr. Rhodes, if you're asking what was in the records of the issuing company, candidly, I don't recall. I remember that there were some changes in the beneficiary change form, and as to who it was ultimately, I just don't remember. I know there was a VIBA trust involved, but frankly, I'm just blanking as to what actually was contained in their file.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
All right, I do have one. Did you all give me the original? I don't think so. Of the verified motion for approval of settlement, I'm just making sure I don't have an original here. It's double-sided pages, so I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. I'm just making sure. All right, any other witnesses? Ms. Crispin.
May I excuse, Your Honor?
Yes, you are excused. Thank you very much, Mr. Stamos. I'm disconnecting
well,
you.
Can I call him as a witness?
No, you've had the hearing is ending.
I didn't get a chance.
No.
It's ending now?
It is.
No.
All right.
Kidoking.
All right. Did you have a proposed order?
Yeah, I have a blank order here. I can fill it out here, or I can have a blank.
Okay. Thank you. I'll take the blank one. Thank you very much.
Your Honor, I'm just going to hand it just one copy because I know Your Honor will furnish it via the...
Absolutely, via the CAD. Yes, thank you. All right, everyone. I have as our next hearing November 15th. So I'm just saying, just for the record.
My office gave me an order setting a hearing for November 9th at 1:30.
Okay, and which hearing is that? Isn't that the hearing I denied?
No.
Already?
No, it's on Mr. Stansberry's request for court intervention under Florida Statute 736-0706, filed back on February 15th of 2017. And in communications with my paralegal, with your assistant, apparently it gave rise to her preparing an order setting that hearing for November 9th. She created it and gave it to me to confirm that there's a hearing on that date.
I will tell you.
I didn't have any conversations with your office.
I understand that. I totally understand that. And actually, it's not a complete shock to me. That's why I asked about. I need to look at that. My assistant is out for 6 weeks. So if you will hand me that, let me review. I need to look at that because in my world, I didn't think that was an issue.
And just for the record, Your Honor, this is the motion where he's asking you.
I thought I denied it. I thought I entered an order denying it.
If you have any, we asked.
Let me look at it. Let me look at it. And that's what I'm saying. Let me look at it. And Mr. Thiemann, I'm sure at some point my assistant did request for this. But like I said, she just had surgery. So let me take this. Let me take the other blank order. I have a phone conference. Thank you very
Honor,
much.
Your Honor, one yes. statement to the I just want the record to reflect that I wasn't given a fair opportunity to be heard. I made no opening statement, was not allowed to call witnesses, and there were no pretrial hearing procedures ordered by the court or even followed by the court.
So noted. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.